Good evening. Welcome to the Lord's house. It is good to see you. It is good to be with you. I feel like it's been a long time coming. I think this is the first time I've ever had the privilege of standing before this congregation to conduct and to lead a worship service. So thank you for having me tonight. I really, really enjoy being here with you and appreciate it. So tonight we're going to be starting off with a second of a series that I am doing also with your brothers and sisters down at Christ Our Savior in Defiance. So we're picking up with the second part of that series. The series is a Lent to Remember. We're really focusing on that word remember in the scriptures, which is used in so many interesting ways. And tonight, from the 111th Psalm, God would have us to remember his wondrous works. And no more wondrous work did God ever do than when he put forth his only begotten Son to be our Savior, to go the way of the cross and of Calvary, to be our Redeemer, and then the way of the open tomb in the resurrection to save us for eternity of life. So we'll remember the great deeds of the Lord. I'll explain a little bit later why this symbol of ministry, the holy ministry, is on the front of the cover. That is often a symbol of the holy ministry with the stole and the staff, a past symbols of the pastor, the word and the sacraments. So I'll explain why that's there a little bit later. May God bless you in your worship, and we'll get things underway as we sing our opening hymn.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power through sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art.
how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, we implore you to direct, sanctify, and govern our hearts and lives in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your mighty protection, both now and always, we be preserved in body and soul. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Our psalm verses this evening are from the 16th Psalm. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight.
The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their name on my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup.
You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption.
You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated. The hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This, is a hymn that captures our attention right from the beginning with its simplicity and its persistence. What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this? We sing it three times. This repetition is not the sign of a weak poet who has a narrow range of expression, but it is that of a Christian who has experienced profoundly the sacrificial love of Christ. In utter awe of such love, he can only express himself over and over, what wondrous love is this? It is the kind of repetition that sounds trite when it is spoken, yet gains strength and power through our singing. These are not the carefully crafted words of a theologian, but the utterances directly from the heart and the soul. This hymn is of American Appalachian origins, although, as is the case with so many of the hymn writers from the hymn tradition of the southern United States, the author of this hymn is not known to us. It was first published in Lynchburg, Virginia in 1811, and it was linked with a southern melody found first published in New Haven, Connecticut in 1835. This hymn, sharing the deep truths in a simple, folk-like manner, helps us to remember the greatest of God's wondrous works and to marvel together at his great love. And so let's join then with awe and with reverence as we sing, "What Wondrous Love Is This?"
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of from
first reading for this evening, in the commemoration of our Lord's passion and death and suffering for us, from the book of Joshua in the 10th chapter. You probably never heard these words read at a Lenten service before, I'm going to guess. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since, when the Lord obeyed the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And let us pray. Heavenly Father, your mighty deeds show your care for your people. You are the giver of all good gifts. By your hand, each day our bodies are fed, our lives are refreshed, and our spirits are made whole. Keep us from taking your many blessings to us for granted, and give us hearts for sharing all your good gifts with those around us.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The epistle reading is from the first letter of St. Peter in the 3rd chapter. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us rise then as we are able for the verse and the gospel. Faith comes from hearing,
and hearing through the word of Christ.
Hear now the reading of the Passion narrative from St. John's Gospel, chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, and there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew that place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
When I survey
mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. So this evening we turn to the 111th Psalm, the same words with which we opened our service tonight in the opening sentences, and especially the fourth verse. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. We pray, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what do you do that causes you to remember things? I don't know, these days I just put my appointments and my reminders on my phone, and that I trust that it's going to remind me of things with little pop-up reminders and some pretty little tones and bells and that kind of thing. That's how I am caused to remember. But once upon a time, when we didn't have these little wonders in our pockets, we had to think of other ways to remind ourselves of things and to be caused to remember things. So we might tie a string around the finger, or maybe put a sticky note on the door. We do that a lot. Or maybe set something out while you're thinking about it so that you'll remember it later on. This morning, when I was getting ready to go to Christ Our Savior Defiance, I was brushing my teeth, and it occurred to me, I want to take an apple with me for lunch. So while I'm brushing my teeth, I go out to the refrigerator, and I grab an apple, and I set it on the counter so that I don't forget, right? Or my favorite way of being caused to remember things is I just ask my wife, Bonnie, to remind me. And she causes me to remember. She's really good at it. This past weekend, to remember which way we were supposed to turn our clocks, you know, the beginning and the end of daylight saving time, we all use that little ditty, right? Spring forward, fall back, and it causes us to remember. And speaking of remembering daylight saving time, we just read the ultimate daylight saving time story, didn't we, in our Old Testament lesson tonight from Joshua 10, when Israel was fighting to defend Gibeon against the five Amorite kings, but they needed more daylight to finish the battle for the mop-up operations. And so Joshua spoke to the sun and the moon to stand still, and we are told that just that happened. The sun stood still, and the moon stopped in the sky until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. The sun stopped in the midst of heaven. Wow! Talk about a wondrous work of God. Which is what brings me tonight to the kind of remembering we want to talk about this evening. Remembering the wondrous works of God, which is so much more important than remembering your glasses or your car keys or your appointments or an apple or whatever it is, because life itself depends upon remembering the wondrous works of God. Life depends on this. And so tonight we take our Lenten cue from Psalm 111, verse 4. He causes his wondrous works to be remembered. Now, last week I didn't get to be with you. You were blessed by somebody else's sermon, I pray. But I was talking about the word remember, and from Ash Wednesday, those words of the Lord, he remembers that we are dust. So last week we talked about God is the one doing the remembering. And I also said that for God, remembering is not just a, hey, I thought about you kind of remembering, a little flash across the brain or something, but when God remembers, it always prompts him to do something on behalf of those he remembers, something he will do to rescue them, to save them, to help them. Well, tonight, we are the ones who are called to remember. Remember the wondrous works of God. But again, as with God, remembering is never just a thing unto itself. It's never just something that happens here in the brain. But remembering always sparks something that happens. And for us, remembering the wondrous works of God is supposed to prompt and bolster faith in God. Remembering God's wondrous works reminds us that God is worthy of our trust. And so he causes us to remember his wondrous works. And if you wonder why God has to do that, has to cause us to remember his wondrous works, well, just ask at your dentist office next time why they send you 3 text messages ahead of your appointment to remind you to get to your appointment, right? Because you see, for us, forgetfulness is an issue. In all of life, generally, but I think even more so in the realm of the spirit, forgetting God and forgetting his works is a huge weakness of our fallen, sinful nature. And when we forget God, and when we forget the works that God has done for us, faith and trust are eroded, and the devil gains a foothold in our lives. And it happens all over the place in the scriptures. I mean, think about that Old Testament reading. Think about that day when God brought the sun and the moon to a screeching halt in the sky for Israel. A day like no other you read. Because God obeyed the voice of man and he fought for Israel. You would think they would never forget something like that. How long was it before Israel forgot this wondrous work of God? Not very long. But shortly after, as new settlers into the promised land, we read early in the book of Judges that the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals, the false gods of the Canaanites. God made the sun stand still for them, and already they are serving other gods. And we wonder why God must cause us to remember his wondrous works. Or remember how quickly the children of Israel forgot the wondrous works of God in delivering them out of their slavery in Egypt? In the span of just 2 months, they had forgotten all that God had done for them. The 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, the drowning of Pharaoh's armies. And instead, all they could remember, all they could think about was how good they had it in Egypt. When they had leeks and cucumbers and all the variety of food, and in their forgetfulness, trust became doubt and grumbling, and all within the span of 60 days. And you wonder why God must cause his wondrous works to be remembered? And how quickly the wondrous works of God were forgotten after the death of Gideon, the judge. Remember Gideon? With 300 men, some torches and some trumpets, God and Gideon routed the supposedly invincible army of the Midianites and rescued the children of Israel. But then what do we read in Judges chapter 8? As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal-berith their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God who had delivered them. And we wonder why God must cause his wonderful works to be remembered. Those are all Old Testament stories. Let's bring it up to date. A man is lying on his deathbed. I ministered to this man. Lifelong member of the church, faithful in worship, catechized from his childhood, a lifetime of hearing the gospel proclaimed, receiving the absolution, participating in the sacrament, and still upon his deathbed. He is so afraid. I've never seen anyone. His legs were actually trembling for fear of dying. He did not believe that God could forgive his sin, maybe others, but not him. And he knew that he was going to come into judgment. And we wonder why God must cause his wondrous works to be remembered. Or a young lady, Christian lady, grows up in the most loving, godly home. But she falls in with some bad company. She turns prodigal, throws to the wind everything she has ever believed, ever confessed, and she decides that she knows a way of life that is better than the way that God provides. And we wonder why God must make his deeds and awesome wonders known and remembered. We get a diagnosis. I've seen it happen. And people fall to pieces. They just crumble. And as if forgetting that that God healed the 10 lepers, as if forgetting that God himself bore our sicknesses in his own flesh to the cross and took them away from us so that they will never harm us, whether we live or die here, they will never harm us, but they forget what the Lord has done for them. And they are just decimated by the news. Or they run short of money, they despair, as if forgetting how God provided for Elijah. They stew in their guilt, forgetting how Jesus made a dying thief fit for heaven, and how he brought Peter back into the fold after his heinous denials of Christ. They forget how the Lord has done these things. And so the devil gets his foothold in their lives and hearts. We lose a Christian loved one, and we grieve almost as without hope, forgetting how God raised up his Son to be the first fruits of all of those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And we wonder why God must cause his wondrous works to be remembered. Well, friends, in the Old Testament, God had some very specific ways of causing his works to be remembered. And see if this doesn't sound familiar to you. That his works might be remembered, he gathered his people at the temple for worship. There was the public reading of the scriptures and the singing of hymns and psalms. They would participate in a sacred meal that celebrated their salvation. And they were given festivals as annual celebrations of God's saving deeds. Does any of that sound familiar? It ought to, because that's the very same way God still causes his wondrous works to be remembered. And that's what that graphic on the bulletin cover is this evening of the ministry. This is how God causes his wondrous works to be remembered. Through the ministry of word and of sacrament, as the gospel is proclaimed, as children or adults are baptized, as you come forward to receive the body and the blood of your Lord Jesus Christ, and God is causing you to remember the amazing, wondrous work that he has done for you through Jesus Christ, which is the most wondrous, most amazing work that God has done. As the psalmist said it in Psalm 111, in the 9th verse, he sent redemption to his people. And now I'm talking about Jesus. In Jesus, God sent full and final redemption to his people. In Jesus, God sent our sunlight from heaven. And in his light, we have life, and the darkness is chased away. In Jesus, God sent our deliverer, and under the wings of his mercy, he saved us out of sin's slavery and bondage. In Jesus, God sent us our Gideon, who for us has routed invincible enemies, Satan and death and hell. In Jesus, God has given us our forgiveness, our joy in life, our way to God, and every good gift of heaven. There is no greater work that our Lord has done than the work, the wondrous work that he causes us to remember in this Lenten season, when God gave redemption to his people and Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. And there is no work of God that is more important for us to remember. Because while all of those wondrous works of God that are recorded for us in the scripture illustrate what God can do for us, Jesus is the guarantee that God will do it for us. For all of the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. 2 Corinthians verse chapter 1. You see, it's for the sake of Christ that we have been brought to God, forgiven, washed, and welcomed. And it is for the sake of Christ that God now goes to work on our behalf and does such wondrous things for us, so that all things must come together somehow for our good. When God causes us to remember Jesus' words and his miracles and his cross and his open tomb, then standing upon that rock, we will not be greatly shaken, no matter what life might throw at us. We will not be greatly shaken, because we know that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, neither things present nor things to come, neither powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I don't know about you, there's certain ways of remembering that just help us more. And I have to say that beside the Word of God, beside baptism and the Lord's Supper, which are God's gifts to us, I think one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us to cause us to remember his wondrous works is this holy season of Lent. Our annual reminder each year of the wondrous works that our Lord Jesus has done for us to redeem our lives for God. And therefore, as the psalmist says it, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. We pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for causing me to remember your wondrous works, the works which you did through Jesus Christ to save me, to save us. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Let's join then in response to sing the two stanzas of a theme hymn called To Remember. And after that, we'll receive the offerings, and then as the offerings are brought forward, we'll sing the offertory hymn, On My Heart, Imprint Your Image.
inscription be, Jesus crucified for me.
Is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation.
We rise for prayer. Holy God, holy, most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Lord, keep this nation under your care,
and guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. For the needy shall not always be forgotten,
and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night.
For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and defend you from all evil and bring you to everlasting life.
Amen.
Go in peace as you serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Let all within me join and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favors are divine. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, nor let his mercy
to save. He fell. them.